one of the things that Anglicans are meant to do is to speak a little bit to the scriptures of the day, although that's not primarily what I would like to do this morning. So let me make a few comments about the scriptures and then go on to the rest. When I read these readings and thought about the context of today, I thought, oh my goodness, these are somewhat negative readings about God's people. And we are here for celebration. But there is a truth at the heart of these readings, particularly the Exodus and Matthew readings, about the nature of humankind, which is to complain. We like to complain. We like to compare ourselves. We like to say we haven't got enough. The Israelites, of course, were in the wilderness and were afraid that there wouldn't be what they needed to survive. They had left oppression, yes, but security, yes. And were in the wilderness, and they were afraid. And so they start bitterly complaining against Moses, who says, why are you complaining to me? And God hears and provides. Quails in the evening, and a bread-like substance in the morning. We're not quite sure what that was. And in Matthew, we have the vineyard owner who's hiring laborers according to the practice of the day, which was that laborers would gather in a simple marketplace. The owner would come and take what he needed for the day in his vineyard, on the agreement to pay them the usual daily wage, which I believe was enough for living on for several days. The owner doesn't stop there, though. He goes back into the marketplace and finds others who've not been hired and who won't have something to eat for their families. And so he hires them at noon, and again at 5 p.m., and at the end of the day pays them all the usual daily wage. And there's bitter complaining from those who were first, even though they had agreed to work for the usual daily wage. Has echoes of the elder brother in the prodigal son story, when the prodigal son comes home and the father kills the fatted calf, and the elder son says, I've been working for you all these years, I didn't get a fatted calf. We don't want generosity. We want absolute equality, even if it doesn't respond to the need. And even if the giver is generous. Unless we were the recipient of generosity. It is that kind of a God that we serve and follow, who is abundantly generous, but does not treat everybody exactly the same way. God responds to what we need and responds with generosity. And it is our human comparison and competitiveness that often makes us complain at a moment when we should be rejoicing and thankful that we have received enough and our neighbor has received what they need. But let me switch now to something a little different. The church does a wonderful job of celebrating clergy moments. We pull out all the stops to rejoice in an ordination of a deacon or priest. A diocese celebrates those made honorary canons and really pulls out the stops when they consecrate a bishop. But it does seem that we only rarely remember and celebrate the call and ministry of lay people. And today is one of those days. Today we recognize and celebrate the ways in which our most important calling is lived. And that is the calling of our baptism. No priest, deacon, or bishop is ordained without that calling first. It is the call to follow God's way as known in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. George and Brianna, Stephen and me and Liz, have all been called by our baptism. Brianna is now affirming what was promised at her baptism for herself publicly, confirming that God is at work in her and will be guiding and leading her as she follows his teachings. And George is being honored for how he has lived out that calling through his vocation as a lawyer and as a chancellor. And we do this celebrating not to compare or to set them on pedestals, thinking no one else meets that mark. We do it as an encouragement to all for the journey that each of us has been called to. Though they are unique in their particular gifts and call, they're not more important than any other person here today. Each of us has been invited through baptism to live into the promises that were made, to live them in our own context, in our family, in our time, in our place, and with the gifts and skills and sometimes the quirks of history that have stumbled into our path. It is to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love neighbor as self. Brianna will discover that in the fullness of time. She's at the very beginnings of her journey, and we all wish we could be a fly on the wall and see what God's going to do. George has been on it for a few more years. And he's had to make daily choices out of the promises that he has made. In a few minutes, all of us will renew our baptismal covenant, our promises to God in light of and response to God's promise to us that is eternal, God's love and forgiveness that can never be taken away. The promise that by the Holy Spirit, God is with us always. I'll quote my favorite scripture passage, since I do it quite frequently, Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's a verse to hold. And at times like this, we are pointed back to that covenant we have made. We will all renew what we have promised. Brianna will affirm again her desire to follow Jesus, to turn away from anything that separates her and us from God. And after we affirm what we believe about God, about Jesus, about the Spirit in the Apostles' Creed, we have then those six questions that are at the very heart of, so that's what you say you believe. How will you show what you believe in your life? What will you do? How will you act? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in the prayer? Now, Anglicans like fancy ways of saying simple things. Will you be part of a church community? A community that teaches, that prays, that gathers for the Eucharist. The next one I love because it begins with when you sin, not if. When you sin, will you repent and return to the Lord? All of us will and do fall short. We are jealous, we are angry, we are greedy, we are lustful. There are lots of ways in which we slip off the path. Sometimes for a moment, sometimes for decades. And the only question is, when you see that clearly, will you repent and return? And God is there, promising forgiveness and mercy. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Now, there is a lot of people who like to quote what is purportedly a statement of St. Francis, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Well, it is necessary. There are lots and lots of people who have never heard the the gospel, who have never heard the story of God's love shown to us in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean that you have to stand on a street corner with a sign, but I do mean that we have to be honest and with integrity say what we believe. Not in a way that accuses or demands that the other believe the same in that moment, but simply says what I believe. Proclaim by word and example. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? That maybe is almost the hardest one. We immediately want to start parsing it. Well, who's my neighbor? Will we consider that all of creation is God's, and all human beings are our siblings as children of God? Whatever race, whatever color, whatever language, whatever culture, whatever orientation, all. Will you strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being? Oh my goodness. The dignity of every human being. We love to stereotype and put people in boxes and dislike them because of something about them. Sometimes it's where they're from, sometimes it's how they speak, sometimes it's their abilities or disabilities, sometimes it's their sexual orientation, sometimes it's their religion. And what will you do to sustain the life of the earth? The sixth one that was added because we were convicted of our not sustaining the life of the earth. And of course, over the recent years, we have seen more and more profoundly the impact of humankind on the climate. And you in British Columbia, we watch from Ontario with lots of prayer, especially for the fires and floods that you've experienced in the last few years. Sometimes those questions seem simple and straightforward, but they are not always easy to live. We have to decide what loving our neighbor looks like. Which neighbor? Next door? Downtown? Across an ocean? The ones I like? The ones I don't? And then ask, what can I offer that neighbor? For Brianna, it may mean choices at school. And with friends, what does it mean to choose for the dignity of every human being when someone in your class is being bullied? Standing up is hard. And for George, what is just in the midst of competing or conflicting experiences? And how do we redress the wounds of the past in the present? Living into those six questions is a lifelong task for every baptized person. It is the calling of Jesus Christ in our hearts and on our lives. It is what we affirm when we come to worship, when we receive the Eucharist, when we are sent back out into the world to make a difference. To show people what the love of God can and will do, and transform the societies we live in to be just places of dignity for everyone. It is a high calling to be baptized. And a few are called to serve in particular capacities, but we, those of us who wear our collars backwards, are not more important. We have just been given different tasks within the body of Christ. But I know that the essential work of the church happens out there where you are. And that's what we're celebrating today. Is a young person beginning that journey? I just like the older person who's well into that journey. And whose ministry has made a difference in our church, has made a difference and makes a difference in the lives of people here in British Columbia. So may God give us grace and courage for what we're being called to do and to be, so that others might with us find that joy that Paul wrote about in Philippians. That joy that says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I can hardly choose between living and dying because both are places where God is known. And he says it with a joy and a heart that I hope I can live into. So may God grant you courage for all he is calling you to do and be today and always, as we give thanks for Brianna and for George this morning. Amen. Amen.